it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll play our conversation with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. We'll do that coming up in about 15 minutes or so. I want to go back to something that Mitch Holthus said when I asked him a couple of days ago, what does it mean for this offense to be getting back Rashee Rice? This was the answer from Mitch Holthus, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs.
What if I just told you the Chiefs just traded for Debo Samuel and he's healthy? That's Rashee Rice. And even plus-plus in some ways, that element is a perfect puzzle piece fit to what everybody else can do. The cool thing about this 514 area code, and then you throw in Juju and what he's been able to do, and he's the door hinge. I told you, we've been seeing it every game. Things fly open because Juju's doing something. And the guys know the value of Juju. And then you throw in Thornton, who going into last week was number one in the league in yards per catch. They all do different things. And so kind of the last piece of the puzzle is this combination of speed and power and tackle breaker that Rashee Rice is. So now if you're bailing out, you're playing zones, you can't double team Kelce anymore. You can't. There's no way you can. But I got to respect Hollywood. Wait a minute. I got to go deep. I'm going to play two deep safeties. Now you throw underneath with a tackle breaker like Rashee Rice, and it becomes a 15-yard pass. It becomes a 55-yard play. Or you run the jet sweep with him. And now all of a sudden you've got this speed and agility of a running back wide receiver combo, and it becomes potentially lethal.
Rob, I want you to really think about this. Texline, I want you to really think about this as well. In Patrick Mahomes' entire career, he has had one in his prime 25-year-old wide receiver. I know you're thinking Xavier Worthy. Xavier Worthy is 22 years old. Now, certainly the hope and expectation is that you'll have Xavier Worthy on the team when he's 25 years old. But if we are talking about you giving who we believe to be the best quarterback in the National Football League elite premium weapons, and I think that's what Rashee Rice is, a premium weapon. He has only had one of those in his entire Chiefs career. It was Tyreek Hill. That's it. You didn't get Hollywood Brown, you would say, in his prime, also older than 28 or 25. You didn't get Juju at that point. You've only gotten one. Maybe you would argue Sammy Watkins, but we knew that Sammy Watkins came with a pretty significant injury history, and it kind of played itself out in Kansas City. I would argue that it has been a decade almost since the Chiefs have had this kind of weapon in their locker room and on their team. Now, I don't know what he's going to look like coming off post-injury, but just given how the rest of the NFL looks, there's no reason to think at 25 years old, he can't bounce back and be a premier player. I wanted to look this up because we heard a player comparison from Mitch Holthus. So I looked it up. I just typed in Rashee Rice, player comparison, just wanted to see what people said post the NFL draft. This is one that popped up courtesy of our guy Matt Miller at Bleacher Report. Rice is a high-end number two, low-end number one, akin to San Francisco's Brandon Ayuk. His ability as a ball winner on the outside would be welcome on any team, and for a more creative team, his bully ball yards after catch would make him a nifty weapon to move around the formation. That is exactly how we were seeing him being used in Kansas City, and that is who the Chiefs are adding to their offense. I don't think that Rashee Rice is one of the five best wide receivers in the league. I think comparing him to Brandon Ayuk is pretty good. I think Brandon Ayuk's like somewhere between the 15th to the 20th best wide receiver in the league. But for the position that currently is the deepest in the National Football League, man, the 15th wide receiver in the league is a dog at this point, a true and legitimate weapon. So if you're talking about you're adding that player at 25 years old, and you feel like you got, what, 2.5 more seasons on that player's rookie contract, this is a win. They just haven't had many players like this. I understand that Pat's contract gobbles up a lot, and you also had Travis Kelce, and you were using him like wide receiver one. Since you lost Tyreek Hill, they have not had many in their prime 24 to 27-year-old wide receivers. It's been retread from somebody else, guy that failed somewhere else, and now you're trying to make the most out of it. And for the first time on an offense that's really starting to peak, for an offense that's really starting to really hit its stride, you add potentially their best weapon in the middle of this, and now you put him where he doesn't have to carry your offense. He doesn't have to be a guy that gets 15, 14 targets a game. You can kind of give Worthy some. You can kind of give Rice some. You can give Tyquan Thornton some. And you can distribute the ball. We went from an offense that didn't really appear like they had a lot of weapons to right now, I mean, the list of teams that you think have more available at hand, it's not a long list of teams that you would say that about right now.
I actually, in my head, going through the exercise of how many teams I think have definitely better weapons than the Chiefs, man, the number is small. Now, I think we need to put in a little bit of, you know, pump the brakes a little bit on expectations for Rice, maybe this week. Because I think he's going to be good this season. I think he's 25. All the things you said. I also think there's a chance that he has a little bit of a rust factor. He hasn't played football in over a year.
Like, I agree with that.
He hasn't, like, competitive NFL football. He hasn't practiced, as you said, since over a year with the team. Yeah, he had training camp, but at this point, training camp is 2-3 months ago. And as grueling as training camp is for the Chiefs and all those things, it is hard to replicate live action for the Chiefs. So I agree with Mitch. I agree with you. They're adding a weapon in his prime back to this offense, and suddenly the offense looks dynamic again. I just caution fans that if he hits the ground a little bit rusty because he hasn't faced an opponent in over a year and had a major injury while doing it, it is not a sign the sky is falling or he's a bust or they can't implement him. I think there's a chance there's a ramping up process with him, which is fine, because what you really need Rashee Rice to be is all systems go by the Bills game. No offense to the Raiders, but you do not need him at 100%, this offense firing on all cylinders, to beat the Raiders. Frankly, you could put Xavier Worthy in bubble wrap this weekend, you can beat the Raiders. But the goal should be get him acclimated and at full speed so that November, I believe, 2nd, when you're in Orchard Park, you are at fully operational at this offense.
We're going to play our conversation with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, here coming up in a bit. Rob, I want to ask you this question, and then we'll play Mahomes. On a scale from 1 to 10, how big of a swing do you want to see them take at running back? I ask because the Chiefs, they are being linked to a couple of different names. Brees Hall's name has come up. Jalen, what's the kid's name from the Dolphins?
Achan?
No, not Devon Achan. The other guy. Doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
There's a couple of different players that have been kind of rumored to that the Chiefs are interested in. How big of a swing do you want to see them take? I only mention that because I wouldn't get your hopes up. The Chiefs, this season, they haven't shown that they're willing to kind of swing big. So if you want a Devon Achan, the name you just threw out there, sure. It's not just the third round pick. It's he's going to command a new contract. I just don't think the Chiefs are interested in paying running back at this point. If you go get Brees Hall, you run into the exact same problem. So I think they're going to go get I think they go get somebody's RB2, RB3, and it is much more of insurance if something happens to one of the running backs that you have, more so than you were going to get Devon Achane to come be your RB1. You had opportunities to get RB1 back in the spring, and they never made an effort to go find that player.
Jalen Wright is the guy. Thank you, text line, for pointing that out. Jalen Wright is the player.
I wanted to say Jalen Warren for whatever reason. That didn't feel right to me.
You started saying Jalen Warren, and then I was like, the Steelers? That's wrong. And then I thought Jalen Hyatt, it doesn't matter. I want them to take a small swing at running back, and here's why. I think if they are going to make we throw out the rundown and restart the show because they made a move, we have to talk about it for 4 hours type of player, I want that to be an edge rusher. If they have to give up a premium draft pick this year, talking about a second, third, that type, first maybe, type of draft pick at the deadline to go get an impact player that changes this team in the now, I want that to be an edge rusher. If they are adding a player that you say, oh, they add this guy and now it's contract talk time immediately, like a Breece Hall would be, I don't want it to be Breece Hall. I want it to be an edge rusher. I know the Chiefs pass rush looked better on Sunday, and that's good. But the Chiefs pass rush is going to be the Achilles heel of this team. So let's add bodies there. So if they are going to take a swing at running back, I'm not going to hate it, but it better be a small swing because I'm not willing to sacrifice what could be a big swing at D end for a big swing with Devon Achane. That would upset me. So I want a small move at running back.
Yeah, I just think pass rush is kind of one of those things. You know my saying, some things are March and April problems, and if you think that you are really bolstering the pass rush, you better be A, willing to spend a lot of money or spend a lot of resources to do it now. You ain't picking up somebody that can help you get to the quarterback for a sixth round pick, not in October, November. Those guys are not, those guys aren't cheap. There's not that many proven guys that can really show you they can get after the quarterback. So you're going to get somebody who's got 200,000 miles on them. You're not getting a proven young pass rusher that can get after the quarterback. That's just not how this thing works. Not at that position. Every Wednesday at 3:15, we're joined by the quarterback of the Chiefs. Hit me, Rob.
He's QB1.
And at quarterback from Texas Tech, number 15, Patrick Mahomes.
He's a three-time Super Bowl champion.
Mahomes moving to his left laterally, chased, holding it, and gets out of bounds and up the sideline. He's not out of bounds yet. He's at the 10, inside the 10. He dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. A remarkable acrobatic scramble on a 27-yard run. Maybe the best play yet.
Two-time MVP and three-time Super Bowl MVP.
Patrick Mahomes with Mahomes magic. Starting left, peeling right. Three drives, three touchdowns for the Chiefs.
And you can hear him right here every week with CDOT, exclusively on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan. Here's Patrick Mahomes.
Every Wednesday at 3:15, we are joined by the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. And his appearance on the show is brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly Certified Techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today. Earlier today, I got a chance to catch up with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Our conversation started with he has won AFC Player of the Week in two of the last 3 weeks. Last time he told us, he found out on social media. I wanted to know if I was the first person to tell him that he won the award.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I just came from walkthrough, so you are the first person to inform me that. That's awesome.
Look at that. We've had a lot of firsts in our lives. I never thought I'd be the first to tell you that you won an award that obviously you care so much about.
No, it still is. It's an honor, man. I mean, there's a lot of great football players in this league, and I appreciate you keeping me updated on everything happening in the NFL.
There's a lot to talk about. Let's just go ahead and get this out of the way. There was a kerfluffle at the end of Sunday Night Football. You were in the middle of it, so to speak. Just tell us your view, your vantage point. What happened at the end of Sunday Night Football?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, kind of a scuffle broke out, and I was just trying to get it all separated. So it happens. It's football. It's competitive, and everybody wants to win. But now we kind of move on and keep it rolling. That's kind of the part of the game that we kind of have to deal with sometimes.
Have you ever been a part of something like that at the end of the game? It kind of felt like the end of a college football game. You know, we've kind of seen that in those rivalry games. Obviously not the case with this one. Have you been a part of anything like that at the end of a football game?
No scuffles or anything like that. I mean, obviously, it's an emotional game, and everybody is competing to win, and sometimes the emotions get the best of us, but no scuffles for me, no.
Right now, we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. A couple of things that I want you to be aware of. You are the fastest player in NFL history to throw for 300 touchdown passes in their career. I feel like you've done so many of these things over your career. Is that something that people notify you of? Is that even something that you think about while the season is ongoing?
No, I mean, other than like just noticing on like social media and stuff after the game. You don't focus on that stuff during the seasons, especially. I mean, obviously when I look back at the season and review after the season or at the end of my career, I'm sure I'll really appreciate those things. And I know how hard it is and all the great guys that have come before me, but You're so focused on just trying to find ways to get wins in this league that you can't focus on those other things.
You are currently leading the MVP votes. I know it's very early on in the season, so I mean, no real reason to dive deep into it, but I think that's really an indication of how you've played so far in the first six games of the season and how this offense has really progressed over the last three, 4 weeks as well.
Yeah, we've gotten better. I mean, we're getting better and better each and every week, and that's all you can ask for is to continue to show improvements and learn from your mistakes in previous weeks. But it's still a long season ahead, and we're not where we want to be at, so we got to find ways to continue to get better and better as the season goes on to try to put ourselves in position to get to the playoffs and try to win the division.
It finally feels like we're here. You and I have talked about it. I'm sure you've been asked about it a million times. Rashee Rice is finally coming back to this offense. Let's just start with this. What does it mean to have a player like of his caliber and adding him to the offense?
Yeah, I mean, it's a couple things. I mean, obviously the player, I mean, he's an extremely talented player. He can do a lot of things, catching the football, running routes, being explosive and making plays happen all over the football field, from the line of scrimmage all the way to 50, 60 yards on the field, and those are special type of players. And so the player is one thing, but I think more than that is just the mentality and the energy that he brings. I mean, those receivers, man, they're like best friends. And so to finally get the full group together, it's going to be fun to watch because they've been building for it and they've worked through some adversity to get there with injuries and things like that. But so now let's get these guys out there and let them have fun and go out and play the game they love.
You mentioned having the full group. I mean, you haven't had them at any point. You haven't had Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, and Hollywood Brown all on the field at the same time. You then add Juju Smith-Schuster into that mix. You add Tyquan Thornton into the mix. You got a very full wide receiver room at this point with a lot of explosiveness.
100%. I mean, obviously, we've dealt with injuries before, but I think that's made other guys better. They've had to accept the challenges, and you've seen guys like Tyquan and Hollywood and Juju and really everybody step up in their roles and take on bigger roles. And then now we're adding the guys back with Xavier and now Rashee. It's just going to make the whole room better. And they've all been pushing each other to be even better. And like I said, they're best friends, man. It's like one of the best rooms I think I've ever seen and been a part of, just how much they root for each other and want each other to succeed.
How do you make sure everybody eats right now in the offense when you got so many mouths to feed? You have done a great job in your career kind of spreading the ball around. This is as many options as you've had kind of at one time. How do you kind of make sure that everybody gets their chances to eat in the offense right now?
I think it's a mixture of kind of two things. First off, I think with Coach Reed and Coach Nagy, they do a great job of the guys know the plays and know who's kind of the plays are called for, and everybody gets their turn to having to be in the main option on the play call. And obviously, that doesn't always mean you get the ball, but I think you know that if the coaches are trying to get you the ball, that kind of helps out. And then they know with me, it doesn't matter who it is. If they're open, I'm going to throw you the football. That's just kind of how I've always rolled. I don't know if it's playing in the Big 12, playing in the air raid. That's kind of the mentality I've always had. And so they know if they get in that game and they get open, I'm going to throw them the football. And so they come in with the mentality to get open and do their job every single play.
Let's kind of go back a little bit to Sunday Night Football. Let's just start with this. What was it like to control the game and play as well as you guys played against one of the better teams in the league? I think the Lions are the best team in the NFC, and you guys handled them on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great team to go up against. I know that it was going to be a competitive game going into the game, and we had to play our best football, and it was good to see. I mean, that if we play our best football, we can compete against anybody, and I was proud of how everybody responded. I mean, there was highs and lows, but no one held their head down. They just battled through adversity, and we were able to get kind of advantage of that game going into the second half, and we kept that momentum going throughout the rest of the game.
I saw that this season you guys are 10 of 12 on fourth down conversion so far. I also feel like you guys have been a little bit more aggressive than you usually have been on fourth downs. I guess what kind of starts that? What has made you guys more aggressive on fourth downs this season?
I think it's a mixture of things. I think it's just the plan that we have going into the game. I mean, I think you've seen some of the plays that we've kind of called even on third downs to be more aggressive and take maybe a shot here or there on third down, knowing we might go on fourth down or run the ball or whatever that is. It's like we have a mindset and a plan going into each and every game. And I think it's just being on the same pages with the coaches and them trusting me even more. I mean, the fact that I've been in the offense for so long now and they trust that I'm going to make the right decisions in the right time, it's helped us be a little bit more aggressive. And And then knowing our defense is going to get stops when we don't get it, I think that's also an important part of it.
One thing I've really tried to stress this week on the show is I don't think people are giving enough credit to what Jalen Moore just did on Sunday Night Football. I imagine he hasn't been getting a lot of reps with the ones, hasn't been playing for this team, had a baby earlier on Sunday. For him to play and play as well as he did, I was really happy to see the Coach Reed kind of pointed that out and gave him the game ball. Let's just talk a little bit more about Jalen Moore, kind of this experience for him and how well he stepped in for you guys on Sunday.
Yeah, I think it just showcased how he's been the entire time he's been in here. I mean, he's a guy, true professional, someone that works his tail off every single day. No matter what you ask him to do, we've asked him to play left tackle, right tackle, guards, both positions, and it's every day he comes out and tries to be the best that he can be, and you need those guys on your team. And I mean, obviously, he wants to play every single week. He hasn't had the opportunity to, but he knew when his opportunity was going to come, he was going to be ready, and he showcased that against one of the best premier pass rushers in this league, and I was very proud of him and how he went out there and competed.
Fast forwarding to Sunday here for just a bit. A lot of times I cannot relate to your job, but this might be the one time I can do it. You got a real 9-to-5 coming up this week. You never get off work this early.
Yeah, I know, but it's still going to be a challenge. I mean, going up against the Raiders, man, it's always tough. And so we have to come with the right mindset. You know, we haven't played one of these early games yet, and so we got to wake up, be ready to go, knowing that it's going to take our best effort in order to find a way to win at Arrowhead.
Going back to your rookie year, who was that guy that kind of came in to explain the rivalry to it? You know, we see this in colleges all the time, you know, where you got a former player come by and then speak to the kids to help them understand the importance of the rivalry. Who was that player that came back to you guys to explain how important Chiefs and rivalry is to this community and to this fan base?
I mean, there was a lot of guys. I mean, I came in with a lot of vets on this team that had been around for a long time, with Derek Johnson and Justin Houston. I mean, Alex Smith. I mean, I came in with a lot of guys that have been a part of this rivalry, and you can feel it in the building within the week. I mean, no matter if you're doing good in the season, they're doing good in the season, both doing bad, whatever it is, those guys are ready to go, and it's always a tough competitive football game. And so it's the closest thing, I think, into a true rivalry in the NFL sport is the Raiders and the Chiefs, and I'm glad to be a part of it, man. It's a fun time every single time we get to go up against these guys.
What is it like to be around long enough where now you have your stories? I hate calling you the old guy, but you're starting to become one of the older guys on the team. You know, you got Christmas Day. You got the whole story about them riding the bus around the stadium. You guys have obviously had a lot of success against the Raiders as well. Now you got your own Raiders stories to tell the younger players.
Yeah, no, I mean, you share that information, man, because you got to build up for the rivalry. You got to match the intensity of the team on the other side. And so it'll be a great game. I'm super excited for it, going up against a good football team with a lot of great football players, and they'll be ready to go.
I got to ask you two questions before we get out of here, two fun questions that we've been talking about on the show. The first one is, there is a word that nobody can spell. Like, there's a word that gives you trouble. That word for me is convenience. I try to get as close as I can, and then I let spell check take over. What is that word for you that just you can't spell that you need spell check to spell for you?
Yeah, no, for me, I don't know why, and I use this word a lot, but it's itinerary. I can't spell it, and I get that every single week from the Chiefs, and I try to type it up and send it to Brittany, and I can't get close enough for spell check, so I don't know why that word is so tough for me.
See, that's one of those words, like, whenever you say itinerary, you just got to go schedule then at that point, because they mean the exact same thing.
Oh, that's my go-to. I got to switch it to schedule because they know what I'm trying to get to.
And last one here. Who is your favorite fictional football player? I'll tell you mine. It is Tim Riggins from the TV show Friday Night Lights. I also like Joe Kane from The Program. I don't know if you've seen The Program or not, but I like Joe Kane too.
I have. I'd probably say Sunshine from Remember the Titans, Ronnie Bass. I mean, just the way he played, he was scrambling, throwing the football around, was competitive. So probably him. Or Julius from that. I love that movie. Or Julius from that movie, man. I remember the Titans when I grew up. I watched that a ton.
That is Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, joining us on the show. They're playing at noon this week against the Las Vegas Raiders in a AFC West matchup. Patrick, always great catching up with you, man. Look forward to catching up with you next week ahead of Monday Night Football.
I appreciate you, man.
Absolutely. That is our conversation with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. His appearance every Wednesday on The Drive is brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today. Coming up on the other side, we'll get back to the top story of the day in Kansas City. The Chiefs, they commented on Josh Simmons. We'll play for you what they said. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rob, I do want to get back to the top story of Josh Simmons here in a bit, but follow me just for a little bit. You know how I was telling you guys the story that I went to Sunday Night Football, and that's the first time that I've been to the Chiefs game in 5 years. The last Chiefs game that I've been to prior to Chiefs and Lions was Chiefs, Texans, Mahomes hadn't even had a Super Bowl at that point. The Chiefs got down big early. They came back, won the game, fake punt. You guys know the game that I'm talking about. So one of my friends was like, oh, well, you know, you had such a good time. Are you interested in going back to the Chiefs game? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I mean, I might go to Miss Sims' standalone game. We get off early. We get off at 4 o'clock. Like, yeah, I'd be into going. They're like, oh, well, what about this week? Well, no, but I mean, just how much is it? You know, I don't want to ask the ticket fairy back to back week, Rob. Like, that's when you're pushing it. You know, you're pushing it if you go back to the ticket fairy back to back weeks. Rob, how much would you guess right now is the cheapest ticket on StubHub for this game? Is Raiders and Chiefs. The game is at noon. I am on StubHub right now. If you don't believe me, I typed in StubHub. I typed in prices low to high. What do you think the cheapest ticket is? This is in section 343, row 33, seats 17 and 18. You up there. You up there next to the lights. How much do you think that ticket is?
So you're asking me, you're up high, and you're in the middle of a row, by the way. So you're everyone's nightmare when it's food and drink time. Okay, so these are going to be really high or really low. The Raiders stink. It's a noon game. They just come off the night. I'm going to say it's low. I'm going to say it's like $28 a pop.
What year do you think we're in? You think you're getting to a Chiefs game at $28?
It's either comically low or comically high.
I want to know. You obviously don't know how good the Chiefs are. It is $222 right now, the cheapest ticket on StubHub to go to this game or not. People are paying this for regular season football games? I'm serious. People are spending this for regular season football games. It's $200 a ticket. Then they hit you for $60 to park. Then you buy drinks and you buy food and all that kind of stuff. For Chiefs and Raiders, week 7?
You also have to be out there at what? 9 a.m. to tailgate?
Oh, hell no. Y'all got it, man.
You got to be out there earlier than 9 a.m.
I'm about to be at the couch. That's where I'm about to be, proudly on the couch. Can't wait to be on the couch. You said $28. You know it's 2025? You think it's night? You thought I was turn back the clock day at Arrowhead? You can't even get a tall Bush Light for $28 at that building anymore. You can't get a personal Little Caesars pizza for $28 anymore in that venue. $28 was nuts. What do you think this was? I said the Kansas City Chiefs, not Kansas.
Not even Kansas. I mean, maybe Kansas Wagner is like $28 a pop. That would have been do you want to come in and watch this game?
Yeah, $28 is insane. I can't believe you said that. All right, I want to play for you guys. We didn't ask Pat about Josh Simmons. I just feel like I know what the company line is. I only get 10 minutes with them. I'm trying to make the most out of my 10 minutes. So Patrick was asked by the media about Josh Simmons. This is what he said.
I'll keep conversations kind of between us, but I mean, it's I'm praying for all my teammates, so I'm always praying for them, and I'll just keep everything else kind of private to us.
All right, they're keeping it private, but they're praying for him. Okay, all right, I'll respect that answer. Let's go to Andy Reid. Andy Reid was asked about Josh Simmons. Here's what he said.
I'm not going to comment on it today. Veach is handling everything there, and we'll leave it at that.
Rob, was that it? Because I asked you to cut it.
Drew told me.
Was that it?
That's it. He got a follow-up, and he nodded. which is not great radio, by the way, but he did nod.
Hold on. You're telling me that today, because I didn't get a chance to hear this, because Reed is talking while we're talking to Mahomes, so it's I'm busy during that time. I didn't get a chance to hear this. This was all he said?
I'm not going to comment on it today. Veach is handling everything there, and we'll leave it at that.
Okay. All right. That's the official stance on their left tackle, just not being there. We don't have a comment on it. We're praying for him. Okay. All right. Nothing wrong with that. I do think that the Chiefs are, I don't know what it is, and I don't want to speculate on what it is, but I do think that the Chiefs are contributing to the mystery around it. I do think they're contributing to it. This is a personal and a team matter, and when we have an update, we'll give it to you. Now, you're still going to be asked the questions. That's our official stance as an organization. I really think that this thing got kind of fumbled from the very, very beginning. And the original reporting around it. Like, there was kind of a way to kind of wrap your arms around this thing, around the uncertainty of it. It's an unusual situation. I think that's safe to say, even if it is something that is usual. You know, death in the family, sickness. I would say those are things that happen in people's lives. That when it happens, hey, I need some time away from work. Understandable. Take the time that you need. Bereavement leave. I mean, this happens often in sports. Hey, Salvi's not going to be here for a couple days. His grandmother died. Hey, he's going to be gone for a little bit. He'll be back. Like, there is kind of a protocol on how you handle this. Regardless of if you care why he's not there, you don't care, you think it's our business, you don't think it's our business, you're allowed to have whatever opinion you want about this. But I do think we can come to this conclusion. This is unusual for how teams normally handle these kinds of situations. There is a manner of, we're not telling you about this, that feels a little bit abnormal from how teams do it. And I think usually when you tell people we have a secret, it is in our human nature to try to figure out what the secret is. And I think that's where we are. I think people are trying to figure out what the secret is. I think that's happening locally with reporters, and you know it's happening nationally. If you're Adam Schefter and you haven't put the phone calls in to figure out what's going on with Josh Simmons, you're not the reporter that I think you are. If you're Ian Rappaport and you're not trying to figure it out, I'm guessing that we'll have this answer by Sunday. We know how this works. Rob, you know when you wake up on Sunday and then you get that dump of information? You get the Jay Glazer report. You get the Adam Schefter report. You get the Peter Schrager. You get all the people that do this at the absolute highest level. They tell you on Sundays, right before the games, all of the tea that's happening in the NFL. I think we find out on Sunday from somebody about what's happening. Because I think at this point, there's too many people asking the question. You have to be asking the question if you do this for a living. Hey, this feels unusual. And normally that's when you start getting the digging going from the reporters. Hey, this doesn't seem normal. This is out of the usual. Let me put in a couple of phone calls. Let me figure it out. I know this person. I know this person. I know his agent. I know his handler. I talked to this person during the draft process. I think we find out by Sunday. I don't think he's playing this week. I don't think he's going to be in Kansas City this week. I think it is obvious he's not here based on what they've said. I think he's out of town. I think he's in California dealing with something. And we'll find out at the end of the week what that is. That's my guess.
I don't think we find out at all for a long time. If they are this buttoned up this early, either A, the PR staff is doing a terrible job of controlling this story, or B, they are going to be buttoned up because they know it's going to be a long time. It's one of those two things for me. Maybe there's a third thing I'm not thinking of. I don't know. But I don't think we get a news dump Sunday from Jay Glazer or Tom Pelissero or Ian Rappaport more news. I think it's going to be we just find out randomly one day. Text line has made this comparison. I think it's a good one. Like, and I'm not saying this is what's happening with Josh Simmons, but we didn't know what was going on with Clyde Edwards-Helaire for a long time. And then weeks later, we got the news dump that it happened. Like, it wasn't 4 or 5 days. It showed up later in the process. And I'm not saying what Clyde Edwards-Helaire dealt with is what Josh Simmons is dealing with, but they kept that buttoned up for a long time. I don't think we're 4 days away from Jay Glazer getting the scoop. I just don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, we'll definitely find out what happened in all of this. I don't know. It just, The fact that there is no information about it just makes reasonable minds inquire about it. And I see some of the text line is let it go. They'll tell us. That's just not really how we find things out. That's not really like, the team just says there's no news here, so there's no news. Like, no, that's usually when the people in this business start digging a little bit more to actually find it out. There's usually a lot of money in trying to uncover the truth. So it's not really my lane. It's not my business. I'm not an investigative reporter, journalist in that way. But there's a lot of people that do this that are asking the question of where is Josh Simmons? And I think that someone is going to figure out where he is and why he is there and try to get an answer on when he plans on returning to the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up on the other side, there's something that's happening in sports that is one of the saddest things. I'll explain. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we'll get back to the Chiefs coming up at the top of the hour. Two things. Thing number one, I'm kind of sad about what's happening to Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook left the Oklahoma City Thunder at age 30 years old, and he had a phenomenal career. Won MVP, helped take a team to the NBA Finals, missed a triple-double for a season. Russell Westbrook is one of the greatest point guards in the history of the league, one of the most explosive players we have ever seen. Since leaving Oklahoma City, Houston, Washington, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Nuggets, he just signed to the Sacramento Kings. He played in one city for the first 11 years of his career and is now turned into the journeyman point guard that comes off the bench. I hate seeing my stars this way, who is now on his seventh team since leaving OKC. Rob, who's your example of a player that just should have hung it up? Like, you know how whenever we make fun of a player for playing past their prime, we post a picture of Sean Kemp in the Cleveland Cavaliers jersey, and you're just thinking, that's not the Rain Man. That's not the Rain Man that I remember catching oops and lobs with Gary Payton back in Seattle. You know mine, there's this picture of two of the greatest centers in NBA history battling it out. And it's Hakeem Olajuwon in a Houston Raptors jersey, and he's posting up Patrick Ewing, who's playing for the Orlando Magic. That's the epitome of just, bro, why are we doing this? What's going on? Why are you still in the league? When I see Shaq wearing 36 for the Boston Celtics, just a nasty situation. That's what I feel like we're headed towards with Russell Westbrook. His last year is going to be in a Sacramento Kings uniform on a team that's not going to make the playoffs. What's your player on a team where they just should have probably hung it up?
That's a really good question, because I think we see this more in the NBA than we do in other sports. Like, can you think of a lot of like baseball players? Like, oh, what is he doing on that team? I'm trying to think of a football one, because Kurt Warner.
I mean, there's a bunch of football ones. You had Jerry Rice, who went to go play Seattle. For Seattle.
But he was not bad for Seattle. He had a few moments that were, I mean, he was not Jerry Rice anymore, but honestly, Tim Brown in Tampa Bay comes to mind.
You remember that's a good one.
Tim Brown in Tampa Bay, because that was, oh, he's going to be back there with Gruden. He's going to get back to his prime.
You had Emmitt Smith, who played for the Arizona Cardinals.
That was bad.
That's a really good one. If you really want to keep it local, Derek Johnson played those six games for the Oakland Raiders.
Did Charles ever get a snap in Jacksonville?
You remember Jamal Charles? Remember Jamal Charles also played for another team for a little bit. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm. Jamal Charles is a good one because he was a Bronco. I thought he had a Jags stint. Maybe it was a Jags preseason.
I think he
stint.
Went to Jacksonville, but didn't actually take the field. I think with Jacksonville, it was like one of those situations where he went there and then that was just the end of it. That's always just a really bad time. You know what? Tom Brady could have been that guy. That's what we were kind of expecting. Mm-hmm. We were kind of expecting that was going to be Brady when he went to Tampa Bay. Like, bro, like you're going to play for Tampa Bay. Like, I'm happy he kind of salvaged that.
By the way, speaking of local, does Zach Thomas and training camp for the Chiefs count?
That's a good one.
That was.
They had a couple of them. Terrell Suggs and they had Darrell Revis. They had a couple of Darrell Revis played on this team.
That was back when the Chiefs got all the calls, though, per UTEP.
Yeah, no, that's bad. Someone said even pro athletes have bills. No, I mean, I get it. I mean, I'm not hating on it. I'm just saying you don't want to see your legends there. And I don't want to hear you got bills if you play in the NBA. Do you want to guess how much money Russell Westbrook has made in his NBA playing career?
Oh, God, it's going to be a huge number.
Not counting any endorsements. I mean, like, if you go on SpotTrack right now and you look up career earnings from Russell Westbrook, how much money do you think he's made in the league?
Did he get the Supermax in Oklahoma?
For sure. He played there for 11 years. Oh, he got paid.
Oh, good Lord. Upwards of $300 million, maybe? Because NBA players' money is real. It's not like a 125, only 75 guaranteed.
345.
Oh!
Russell Westbrook in his NBA career made $345 million. Yeah, I'm assuming you're doing this for the love. You're doing this for the art. You ain't doing this because, hey, you've set yourself up for retirement at this point. I'm hoping if you clear 345. And again, that's not counting any money that you've gotten from anything that you've done off the court. That's just you playing basketball in the NBA. $345 million. Just what a paycheck. Last thing I want to play for you guys before we get back to football coming up at the top of the hour is this. I know that times are hard right now. And I'm playing this audio as a little tongue-in-cheek. I know times are hard right now. Everything costs more. Rent's higher, groceries are higher, your bills are a little bit higher. So I understand that sometimes you got to cut corners. I get sometimes you got to do what you got to do. You got mouths to feed. Listen to the food right now that is skyrocketing in sales because of the current situation of the economy.
It was a dinnertime staple from the 1970s. Hamburger Helper was a budget-friendly way to feed the entire family.
Hamburger Helper, help your hamburger helper. Make a great deal.
Now, with the price of beef at an all-time high, families are reaching for Hamburger Helper to help stretch their dollars.
Hamburger Helper was first introduced in 1971, and in the decades that have passed, it has been seen as a forgotten food from a bygone time. Well, times have changed. Hamburger Helper is now, well, back in favor. Sales have soared nearly 15% in the past year as the price of ground beef has gone up 11%.
We have the highest price of ground beef ever. It's up to $6.31 a pound. Steaks, for example, are up to about $14 a pound. So what people are looking to do is they're looking to stretch their budget and, frankly, to stretch the meat.
That was crazy at the end, but let's move on. Well, you know what we owe the next generation? You know what we owe the little ones? We got to let go some of the foods that we didn't really like as kids. We got to let it go. There was a meal that you didn't really like as a kid, but you know what? Moms did the best she could. Pops did the best she could, you know? Your folks looked out for you. We can't be feeding the next generation Hamburger Helper, man. We got to move on. We got to do better by them, you know? Rob, when's the last time that you came home? Tell me, how would you react right now if you came home? Tough day, you know? You're like, babe, what's to eat? And she was like, man, you know what? I made you a little Hamburger Helper today. Would you be excited if you got that message? Or would you look at her kind of puzzled, like, what's going on here? Why are we doing this?
I understand times are tough. I do. There's a way to stretch your dollar at the grocery store that's not Hamburger Helper. There just is. Spaghetti is not expensive to make. Just make spaghetti. It's right there. It's available to be made. Hamburger Helper is, no, it's a hard pass.
I'm telling you, somebody said, I'll die on the hill that Hamburger Helper is an iconic budget meal. I'm with you. I'm just saying is if you're going to go Hamburger Helper, why don't you just throw in a little bit more and you can like really do it right? You know what I mean? Like, get him some real ground beef, get him some real noodles, get him some real cheese, chef it up. You know what I mean? Just really chef it up here. Hamburger Helper, I'm not doing it. I'm always confused because right now the text line really loves Hamburger Helper. But you guys didn't make fun of, like, ramen noodles. I don't know. I'd rather you just make the little one some ramen. You want to talk about a budget-friendly meal that you can really kind of dress up a little bit. You can definitely dress up some ramen noodles. You can really get kind of exquisite with the ramen noodles. No, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Nah, man, I got to pass on it. That's a thumbs down for me. That's an absolute thumbs down for me. I can't do it. I'm not feeding the little ones Hamburger Helpers. I want better for them. Somebody said, C-Dot, you're hating on the classics. That's the problem. The Hamburger Helper is viewed as a classic. That's why I don't want nothing to do with it. We'll get back to the Chiefs. Keep it right here. It's the Drive.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.